It's time for Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway.
Good morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, and what a Sunday morning it is. Thank you for joining me here today, as you do every Sunday, I hope. I'll be with you, as always, for about an hour or so, and I've got a really, really interesting show today. In my spare time, you know, I read a lot, and I love documentaries, I watch the news a lot, sports, I'm a nerd like that, right? But every now and then, I get sucked into binging on something that is completely off the plane for me. And one of the things that I binged on recently, don't judge me, was Paternity Court. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched Paternity Court, but it's a crazy-ass show. And it triggered me, right? It made me very angry after watching these shows, and I literally had to stop because I felt my blood pressure my blood pressure was going up, right? And the reason is because there's no accountability for these women that do these horrible things and play these horrible games with these men and these children. Now, over the years, we hear all of these stories about these deadbeat fathers, about how these men run out on their kids and their families and how they're not responsible and they never show up and they break promises and all this stuff. Heard all the stories, and I'm not taking anything away from the truthfulness of these stories, okay? I get it. Men have definitely dipped on responsibilities when it comes to kids. There are a lot of kids who do not know who their fathers are, whose fathers have an opportunity to be in their kids' lives and choose for whatever reason not to. Get it, got it, understood. Not taking anything away from that. Because in many cases, we men have done a piss poor job at being fathers, at being responsible, at being accountable, at making sacrifices for our kids. Some of us, a lot of us, have done a horrible job at fulfilling our responsibilities as dads. However, not nearly as many, and it has not been as nearly as prolific as it's been made out to be. In fact, I'm going to read you some numbers and some statistics that's going to surprise you. And I'm going to do all of that. Plus, we're going to talk to my guest on the topic today, solo fatherhood. I'm going to talk to a father who raised his daughter and his son on his own, having to get custody of them in the worst of situations. I'm going to tell you my story, something that has happened to me, and you'll understand from that story why I'm so triggered by the show Paternity Court. We're going to, unfortunately, talk to the Petty today, because he's going to roast me about the Ravens. It's okay, I'm ready. You know, I got my thick skin on. And he's going to give us the NFL picks, not just for today, but for the rest of the week. And we're going to get out our Sunday fun facts. But first, I've got some news to talk about. That's what I love to do. So I hope you're feeling great, because I'm feeling great. I've got lots to talk about today, as I mentioned, so let's get right to it. Well, locally here in Baltimore, there is trouble brewing at Johns Hopkins Hospital. A Dr. Darren Klugman has been placed on leave after making anti-Palestinian posts on Twitter, which is now X. And now a Muslim advocacy group is calling for his license to be revoked. Dr. Klugman is the director of pediatric cardiac critical care at Hopkins, and his tweets refer to Palestinians as bloodthirsty, morally depraved animals. In response to a user saying that Israeli policymakers are calling quite literally for a large-scale slaughter of Palestinians, Dr. Klugman's response was God willing. Zineb Chaudhry, the Maryland director for the Council on American Islamic Relations, also known as CARE, says that her office has been flooded with messages from concerned neighbors, patients, and even staff at Johns Hopkins after seeing these tweets posted to Dr. Darren Klugman's account. CARE has filed a formal complaint against Dr. Klugman with the Maryland Board of Physicians, calling for his license to be revoked. Dr. Klugman responded with an email. He says, "I am writing this note with a heavy heart. On October 8th, I wrote a series of regrettable, hurtful messages on X, formerly known as Twitter. These messages in no way reflect my beliefs, me as a person, a physician, a friend, or colleague. I cannot undo the harm and hurt that those messages have caused, and I am devastated by the impact it has had on my Hopkins family and others." He goes on to say in his tweet, "Other than my family, there is nothing I value more than my job and the privilege of taking care of the sickest patients and most vulnerable families." Hopkins also responded with a statement. It says that we at Johns Hopkins share the concern of many about the deeply disturbing social media posts made by a faculty member and the School of Medicine regarding the ongoing crisis in the Middle East. The faculty member who has made these statements has been placed on leave and thus will have no interaction with students or patients while we conduct a thorough investigation under our policies and procedures. Now, I don't know if Dr. Klugman will have his license revoked. I don't even know if he should. But what I do know, when you take the time to go on social media and voice your opinion and write things like he wrote from deep down, it is who you are. It does reflect your values. It does reflect who you are. No one else wrote it but you. I get so tired of people doing this, you know, calling people the N-word or writing out you know, what they felt about slavery, and then turning around and saying, when they get caught, oh, this doesn't represent who I truly am, and it doesn't represent my values and morals. Absolutely it does. It's who you are. You just let the cat out of the bag, and everybody sees it now. But it still belongs to you. It's still your cat. Just say, listen, I don't know why I feel the way that I feel. I'm sorry that I feel this way. I'm going to try to get help to feel better about the things that I've written. And call it a day, because nobody believes this, it doesn't reflect who I am crap. Just stop. I don't know the PR firm that started this non-accountability, counter-accountability crap with, you know, this doesn't represent who I am. Nobody believes this stuff. Nobody believes it. It's truly a situation where it only sounds believable to the person writing it. Also in Baltimore, shots have been fired in the mayoral race between front-running candidate Sheila Dixon and the incumbent Mayor Brandon Scott. We have less than 6 months before Baltimoreans have to decide who their next mayor is going to be, and the incumbent Brandon Scott wants voters to know that he actually took a strong leadership role during the pandemic. Now, during a press conference on Wednesday, he told reporters that voters should think about how he guided Baltimore through the COVID-19 global health crisis, saying, and I quote, "Folks need to be reminded that I guided us through the pandemic," unquote. And after taking office in December of 2020, Scott did take really harsh measures against the pandemic by immediately ordering the closure of city businesses and restaurants, despite much of the state relaxing the pandemic restrictions. The big problem for that for him came when he was spotted in Baltimore County shopping when he had already just ordered the city residents to stay at home. At the same time last week, Sheila Dixon was also giving her press conference. She is the biggest threat to Brandon Scott's mayor's seat at this point. And that threat just got much larger as she got a ringing endorsement from outspoken city councilman Eric Costello on Thursday. This has got to be a little bit of a dagger into Brandon Scott, as Eric Costello was one of his biggest endorsers back just 4 years ago. But this is what he had to say on Thursday.
City Hall has reached a level of dysfunction that I never thought was possible. And our residents and our small businesses deserve better. Make no mistake about it. I love Brandon Scott as a person. I do. And it pains me to say that his lack of leadership is failing all of us. We are at an inflection point, and continuing on this trajectory is simply not an option.
Costello's endorsement is the very first public endorsement from any city council member for any of the candidates, but his will carry a lot of weight and will bring a lot of other council members with him. He didn't stop there, though. As if that wasn't enough, the council member even kind of inferred that we forgive Sheila Dixon for her transgressions. This is what he said.
And despite a very public fall from grace, she has never once stopped working for or caring for the people of the city of Baltimore.
That is a ringing endorsement, while at the same time having a prominent city council member ask for your forgiveness from right now Brandon Scott's constituents. Now, here's the only issue that I have with that with Eric Costello. And everyone knows I'm not a huge Brandon Scott fan as the mayor, right? I do believe that there's a lot of dysfunction in City Hall, just as Costello mentioned. And I also believe that Mayor Scott has been very quick to blame others instead of taking accountability for himself as the mayor of the city when things have gone wrong. But here's the thing. Although crime is higher in Baltimore than when Mayor Scott took office, although people are moving out of Baltimore more than they're moving in at this point, although the education system is really, really poor, and it's gotten worse, and our test scores are horrible, and so are our attendance, so we have a scandal and all of that since he's taken office. Although all of these things have gone on, what has not happened is he's never been implicated in anything illegal as far as what he does with city funds. It just hasn't happened. There have been rumors, there's been speculation, but there's nothing been proven that Brandon Scott has done anything inappropriate to either line his pockets or any of his friends since he's been in city government. And that means a lot, actually. Because what Eric Costello did, a prominent city council member, what he did was just endorse someone that has a history. And I'm not just talking about gift card embezzlement schemes. I'm talking about a history of fraudulent activity with city money. I'll just name a couple of them. From 2000 to 2010, according to the Baltimore Sun and the Baltimore Brew, Sheila Dixon violated competitive bidding laws so that her one-time campaign manager could get hundreds of thousands of dollars for no-bid computer work, most of it paid over many years without any written contract. In another ethical lapse, as city council president, she employed her sister Janice in her office until she was outed, and then later violated ethic laws again by voting for a subcontract to give fiber optic work to a company that employed her sister. So her sister gets fired for being hired, because she wasn't supposed to be hired in the first place in the city government position under her sister, under Dixon. And then Sheila Dixon gives that company that hires her a subcontract to give fiber optic work to that company, right? All right. That company, UTEC, by the way, was run by a woman who used fake invoices to get paid, had no office whatsoever, there was no building, and was eventually convicted of filing false income tax returns, right? And it keeps going. I mean, she not only helped her sister, but she helped herself. Dixon accepted a $2,000 gift certificate at a Furrier from developer Ron Lipscomb, owner of Duracon Contracting, which got a multi-million dollar tax break from the city. Go figure. The gift certificate from the Furrier was supposed to be a secret. The purchaser, Duracon's vice president, asked the store manager not to write the name of the recipient on the certificate or put his name on the store's records. And apparently her relationship with the developer Lipscomb was personal, as well as financial. Lipscomb, who dated Dixon, treated her to extravagant shopping trips to New York, Chicago, Boston, and Vail, Colorado. And at one Board of Estimates meeting in 2004, Sheila Dixon voted in favor of a $13.6 million tax break for a Harbor East project that Lipscomb and his partners were building. To celebrate, Dixon then left City Hall to catch a 3 p.m. train to Manhattan to be with Lipscomb. There, they dined near Central Park and stayed at the Trump International Hotel for a $1,000 night. And to Lipscomb's company, the company that just got a $13.6 million tax break from the city of Baltimore, paid that bill. Now, it didn't take me weeks to research that information. And if I can get it, Eric Costello already knows it. So I guess what I'm asking is how far deep does stuff run as far as corruption in our city government? Because Eric Costello is a prominent council member. He knows better. So how do you endorse that kind of behavior to become mayor of the city again? And yes, I mean, she resigned. She was forced to resign for the whole gift card situation. But that was the most trifling, petty thing. That was not the most serious crime. The crimes that she got away with, or kind of didn't get away with, was about lying on her ethics forms. I mean, as a city official, you're not to knowingly receive any gifts more than $50 from anyone that the city is doing business with. Well, after collecting thousands of dollars worth of meals, hotel stays, shoes, furs, etc., the gifts that Dixon reported were complimentary tickets to a political fundraiser and a pass for two at the Senator Theater. Those are the only things she ever reported. These are character flaws. I'm going to get away with what I can get away with, and when I get caught, then I'll apologize. Why do we think that that has changed enough to put her in city government again, trusted with millions of dollars again? Why would a city council member endorse that? That's the question that I have. And the bigger question is, what does it say about the citizens of Baltimore that we are seriously considering putting her in office again? Eric Costello can't do it on his own. It takes hundreds of thousands of votes to put her back in office. So who are the hundreds of thousands of people who think that what she did before was okay? You know, Maya Angelou said it best in her famous quote, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." Why don't we believe it? And I know we got a lot of Christians that listen to this show and they're going to say, "Brian, we should forgive her. We should show her grace. That's the right thing to do." And I agree. We should forgive her. We should absolutely give her grace because no one's perfect. What we shouldn't do is give her access to millions and millions of city government money again. That's what we shouldn't do. All right, in international news, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, continues to bomb Gaza and killing thousands of Palestinian men, women, and children in what he says is a search for Hamas. At this point, I'm pretty sure that the international community and the Arab nations are all under the insane conclusion that that is not truly the strategy. The strategy is to kill right now as many Palestinians as possible. And right now he's being successful at it. So it's very difficult to report on the story because there are so many theories and unconfirmed things that it's really hard to get at the truth when it comes to this situation. So the truth has not, I believe, shown its face yet. And until that time, just know that there are many, many, many innocent Palestinian men, women, and children that are being killed every day. All right, let's shift our gears. Let's get into the Sunday fun facts. I've got three of them for you today, and I'm going to make them real quick in lieu of time so we can get on with the rest of the show. All right, Sunday fun fact number one. Deaf people are known to use sign language in their sleep. A case study of a 71-year-old man with rapid eye movement disorder and a severe hearing impairment showed him using fluent sign language in his sleep. With that, researchers are able to get an idea of what he was dreaming about thanks to his sign language. That's crazy. That's very interesting to me. Now, this one I'd heard about, but Sunday fun fact number two is that you can be heavily pregnant and not even realize it. Cryptic pregnancies is what they're called, and they're not that uncommon, with 1 in 500 not recognized until at least halfway through, and 1 in 2,500 not known until actual labor starts. So just because you can't see it, just because you can't feel it, just because you're not late, doesn't always mean you're not pregnant. So wrap it up, be careful, be safe. All right. My final fun fact for the day, you know, I always got to leave you with something, but there's been an actual case of somebody being constipated for 45 days. In 2013, an unfortunate Indian woman had to undergo surgical removal of a fecal mass as large as a football. Now, look, I don't make this up. It is truly a fact. I can't even imagine. I don't even want to imagine. I'm just so happy that I wasn't the surgical team that had to remove all of that ish out of her body. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it right there. I can't even imagine how uncomfortable that was. So, you know, just go easy on the cheese and drink lots of water. Okay? All right, so let's talk about this show today. I did this show about single fatherhood, about solo fatherhood, because I don't think that it's spoken about enough. We hear stories about how women go through single motherhood and how difficult it is, and I'm sure that it is. I'm not a mother, but I am a single dad that gets a lot of help from my ex-wife. So my story isn't really one of struggle as a single father. Though there are struggles that come along with it, they don't compare to, I'm sure, what being a solo parent is for men or women. But I wanted to talk about the men today, and I wanted to tell you why the show Paternity Court triggered me and got me to start thinking about this show. All right, I'm going to share something with you that I've not yet ever shared in a public setting or forum, but it's happened to me, and it's happened to many, many men, and it's extremely painful. And in a way, you almost feel kind of ashamed, even though it's not something that you have done. So here's the story. 2 years ago, I'm home, I'm working out during COVID inside the house, and my messenger chime goes off, but I'm in the middle of a set, so I figured I'd look at it when I'm done. So I did. As soon as I'm finished my set, I wipe off, I go to my phone, I pick it up, I look, and I see I have a messenger icon. I go to my Facebook messages, and I read this message. Hi, Brian, I'm Jada. Now, I'm going to leave out Jada's last name, all right, obviously. It says, Hi, Brian, I'm Jada. This is such a weird message to be writing, but I believe I am your daughter, and I wanted to reach out. I hope I am not invading your privacy. Just wanted to let you know that I am here and was wanting to talk possibly. Let me know if this will be possible. If so, you can reach me or text me at her number. I am also available here on Messenger if it's more convenient. Look forward to hearing from you, Jada. She says, My mother is blank, and I am 21 years old, just in case. Now, of course, I'm shocked, kind of leery, but as soon as she said her mother's name, I kind of knew it to be true because 22 years ago, I met her mother in a gym. I was a gym rat. I worked out all the time in the gym, and that was the culture in which I lived. Within that gym, there are relationships developed, and one developed between she and I after I noticed that she had finished a relationship with someone else that I worked out in the gym with who I knew. I knew that they'd been together for a long time. I figured they were in love. They were having a lover's quarrel, whatever. But she came on to me. I was young, dumb, and wanting to have fun. So I hung out with her. Boom, bah, bing. One thing led to another. And she disappeared. I never saw her. Like, we hung out for about a month. Then I never saw her again. Right? Didn't know where she was. Even went to her house, left messages. Where'd you go? Blank, 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 whatever. Never saw her again. Well, now I get this message, right? And Jada sends me a picture of her. And when I tell you that I instantly knew that this was my daughter just from the picture. Like, I got this feeling of both sadness, an incredible amount of sadness, but also an incredible amount of anger. I mean, I was so pissed. And all I could do was sit there and cry. And I didn't know if I was crying because of the sadness or the anger, or I honestly felt guilt. Don't know why I felt guilt, but I honestly felt guilt. And that was messing with me too, because now I've got this beautiful young 21-year-old woman out here on the West Coast, she's in Cali, that has no idea where she comes from, right? It really bothered me. Like, my blood was running through the veins of somebody that I had never met and who had never met me. And it was killing me inside. So I called her. We had a great conversation. It was emotional. It was revealing. She told me how she found out, how she confronted her mom, all of that good stuff or bad stuff. But the thing that she told me that also hurt me is that her mother told her ex-boyfriend that he is actually the father of my child. And he has been raising my daughter for 21 years, thinking that it's his child. And to this day, he still does not know. Her mother will not tell the truth. My daughter is afraid of hurting him. And that ain't my job. So we've got a man out there right now who thinks that my daughter is his daughter. And to be honest with you, it is his daughter. Not biologically. But he raised her from the time she was an infant, right? So that should not be taken away from him. But my point is how many other men out here are single fathers to children that aren't even theirs? And how many men out here are walking around not knowing that they have children out there and they're not in their lives? Not because they don't want to be in their children's lives, but because they don't know that they even have children, right? This woman, Jada's mom, went from state to state to state doing two things. A, never getting on social media, so I could never find her, right? And B, chasing a man who really didn't want to have anything to do with her, but was just being a father to my child. Those games, to me, are unforgivable. Like, I don't know how I can forgive, if ever, her mother for that one. And, you know, I talked to Jada last night, and she's like, you know, her mom is never going to tell this man, so she feels like she has to tell him. And one of the reasons, and the biggest reason she has to tell him, I now, for the first time, am a grandfather. She and her husband, my son-in-law, has made me a grandfather to a beautiful baby boy. And it's my grandson. He's my first grandson. I can't just sit back and chill because some other man thinks it's his grandson. Nah, I got to do what I got to do. So now she's forced to have this conversation with this man so that her father can come out there and meet his grandson. It's a very interesting situation. And what's crazy, and this is how God works, he is friends with two people I went to high school with. I could easily get on Facebook and tell him to hit me up and have a conversation with him. But that is not my job. I don't want to take anything away from this man because he's been an amazing father to my little girl. And I thank him for that. But the bottom line is not only do I have a daughter, a son-in-law, but I also have a grandchild, my first, that I need to continue to develop and cultivate a relationship with. And I should do that without having to worry about me messing up somebody else's life, i.e. This gentleman. And he is a good guy and he doesn't deserve it. So I need that taken care of before I get there. Now, I could easily, like I said, hit him up and tell him the story, but I'm not going to do that. That is not my job. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So she's going to have the conversation with, I spoke with her last night. She's going to have a conversation with him this week, she says, and I am on pins and needles for her. I hope that it goes well. I will keep you guys posted if you're interested and let you know how things go. Now, that lends to the conversation I'm going to have with my guest, Marcus Moore, today, because he has gone through something as a solo father that men struggle with often as well and is not often talked about. So we're going to have that conversation. So right now, I want you guys to help me to welcome my boy. I've known him for a long time. My boy Marcus Moore to 1500 Radio and Let's Talk. Marcus Moore, welcome to the show, bro. How you doing this morning?
All right, how you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I'm trying to make it. I appreciate you taking your time, man. This is a pretty touchy subject for me. I know it is for you, too. I've known you for over a decade now, and I know that you've gone through some things in reference to the topic we're talking about as far as solo dads, but you had a particularly rough time. You know, I was going through my divorce. You were going through this thing with Amari back in the day, and we kind of counseled each other. You dropped some pearls of wisdom on me. I dropped some on you, kind of help us get through these things each day at work. But what's been going on, man? So tell us how this all started when you got custody of Marcus Jr. and Amari.
Well, my son, he's 10 years older, so he's from another woman.
Okay, okay.
We're another relationship.
Okay.
But, wow.
I know it's a lot to unpack, man.
Yeah. I was married for 13 years to my high school sweetheart.
Right.
Things didn't work out. So we decided to separate, you know, move on. And at that time, me and my son was rolling out and she was going her way with my daughter.
Okay.
And then the first weekend I was getting her after that first week went by on Friday, I ended up, my son picked her up for me because I was at work. And when she came in Friday, she said she's never going back to her mom.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So it was like maybe March.
Okay.
This happened. So I said, I'm in Woodbridge and we can't switch schools right now. And the tears start flowing. So my son says, don't worry about it, Dad. I got her. So every morning he would drive her all the way to Reston and pick her up, bring her to my job, and he would go back to work. Okay. You know, he cut hair with a barber.
So you're in Northern Virginia. So my Baltimore listeners, so Woodbridge to Reston would be kind of like Reisterstown, the top of Reisterstown down to the Inner Harbor. That's the distance. So it's a distance.
It was far.
It's a distance, right.
So after that happened, I called the school. The school said, yeah, she can get out last day, June 10th. She don't have to stay the whole year because school really over June 6th.
Okay.
So that was her last day of school, and I got her into like a rec program and things like that until I got court papers saying, she, you know, we fighting for custody.
Right.
So after that happened, I go to court. I told the judge, you know, my lawyer's in court right now and blah, blah, blah. All that things went through, and man, after that, it's like my luck just went downhill.
You know,
my mother, I mean, my daughter's mother, she's white.
Right, right.
So I'm in Fairfax, you know, so you already know how that rolls.
I know how that rolls. I know exactly how that rolls.
My son was like, you know, we're not going to let her go back. She wants to stay with us. We're going to make this work. At this time, I'm an employee because I broke my back.
Okay.
So everybody thought I was crazy fighting for it with no money, no job.
It's
but
tough.
My son helped me out.
Tough.
Yeah. My son helped me out.
Okay.
So after that happened, we got a lawyer. We went in. And, man, let me tell you the lies that was told on me. This system is not made for fathers.
No, man. And that's one of the things that I recognize. It's a very interesting thing. I mean, things have gotten better since you've gone through your situation, since I went through mine, but it definitely at the time was not designed for fathers at all.
Right. It was tough, man. You know, mother wasn't coming around that much. I guess, you know, bitterness, I'm not really sure. The door was always open. Listening to an 8-year-old asking, you know, how come my mommy don't come get me? I don't know what to say.
Right.
You know, I got a little girl. The boy would be easier.
Right.
You know, but the little girl, emotional and all that. So, you know, we did the father and daughter thing. You know, I'm pretty sure you saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, man. So that's the interesting thing, right? Is like Amar graduates in June, right?
Right.
And I, the one that I know was, you know, she was 7, 8 years old, right?
Right.
So as I've seen her grow with you, I've often wondered, and you know how men do. We friends and all, but we not, you know, we don't talk every day. You know what I mean?
Right.
We talk when we need to talk, right? So every now and then I hit you up, say, yo, what's up, blah, blah, blah. But on the real, when I saw her in her cap and gown, because you posted that picture, like, it blew me away, right? And then the homecoming thing blew me away because I realized my little girl right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But how did you navigate? Because you told me stories back in the day about her grandmother as well, like your ex-wife's mom's, and how difficult that was. What happened with that?
She was teaching the wrong things.
Right.
I don't want to like you know really say the things that you know we all know what it is. You know what I mean? We all know what it is. But at the same time, I just. You know, just try to tell her, you know, I'm not raising you like that. You know, that's not what we do. But if someone like that is teaching someone like a child that, I don't care if it's the sister, the brother, the mother, father, you have to stay away.
Yeah. And it was the you racial know? Aspect of things, right?
Yeah, very, very much so. And even towards me.
Right.
You know, I was called that N-word 35 times in my face in front of my children.
Okay.
You know, and... My son looking at me, waiting for me to kirk out.
Right.
I'm not. Nobody gonna take me out of character. Yeah, I've gotten out of character. Don't get me wrong. But at that time, no way. You know, everybody has to leave right now. That was like, you know, the thing of that. And then my daughter got to fifth grade. She came to live with me, and she had a black teacher. And at that time, my daughter was scared of black people because of what she was being told.
Really?
Yeah, she was scared of my mother, my stepfather. You know, she was scared when she came to live with me. She would go get in the shower, and I have to stand outside the door, and she would call my name. Daddy, I'm here. I'm sitting on the floor on my phone, and I try to tell my mom, I have no idea how messed up she is. I mean, and then my mom just tell me, you're too hard on her. But you know what? I got to get her out of this.
Right.
So I got to do it this way. But kids shut down.
Right.
And I'll try to tell any parents, when a kid shut down, you make them talk. Mm-hmm. You make them talk. Every night before she went to bed, I had her come in my room and we would sit there and we would talk. And it took maybe 9-10 months until she really opened up. Like, yeah, my dad really got my back. You know? So, then the father and daughter thing started. You know?
So was there a struggle with her mother trying to get her back at all? Or did she just concede and say, okay, you got her, you keep her?
No, it was more of the judge said, after the judge gave me custody, the judge looked at me and said, you mess up one time, I'm going to lock you up and take your child from
you. Oh, wow.
So I was on edge. I mean, on edge. You have no idea, man. You have no idea. It came to the point that the judge was listening to her lawyer, and I had a black female lawyer, wasn't letting my lawyer ask the same question. I had to get ignorant. You know, Your Honor, can I say something? Yeah. How come you're letting her talk, or her lawyer talk, and you're not letting my lawyer ask her the same questions? I'm not understanding that. So what are you saying, Mr. Moore? That's a problem.
Right.
If my son said, Dad, stop doing that. Listen, if I'm going to lose my child, it's going to be on the truth.
Right.
And you know how I get, bro.
I know. I worry about it all the time.
I got very ignorant up in there. It was the last straw. You know what I mean? The guardian lighting got involved and came to the school in front of me and disrespected me because of what she heard about me. You know, she white, so you already know how it is.
Right. So explain to me and my listeners what a guardian lighting is. Because you used to talk about that a lot, and I never knew exactly. I had to look it up. I didn't know exactly what it was.
I didn't find out until I got to school. When I got to school for a teacher's conference, I had the teacher and the principal and the vice principal, and I had this lady sit here. And the first thing the lady said was, what is Amari eating? You know, is she, you know, like her health-wise?
Right.
I'm looking at her, and I asked her, you know, I'm like, who the hell are you? Excuse my language, but right. That's what I said. Like, who are you? I'm Marcus Guardian, Amari's Guardian Lighting. What's a Guardian Lighting? That's a lawyer for your child.
Ah.
For the state.
Okay.
So the state pays for that. Well, I still had to pay. Even though I won, I still had to pay the Guardian Lighting. But at that time, the state was paying until the case was over. And then they sent me the bill. You know what I mean? You know, no 50-50, bro. No 50. She ain't pay nothing. I paid the bill. The counselor, I paid the bill. It was bad, man. But looking at her right now, and I always been straight with her. Father and daughter talk. I put it on Facebook, you know, had a conversation with my daughter. We talk about everything, you know, and these young kids want to be in these streets.
Right.
You know, and I told my daughter, if you're going to learn the streets, you're going to learn it from me.
Yeah,
so I always tell her things, you know.
You know, I mean, you weren't always on a straight and narrow coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, not at all. But I think that, you know, not having my father around, not knowing him, and, you know, I was like, well, my kids going to know who I am. I'm going to see them graduate.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right? There's typically a generational curse that keeps being perpetuated. How did you, or what made you want to stop that? Like, how did you say, this is not happening to my kid, what happened to me? And then, what was it?
My mother.
Okay.
My mother, she went through hell. Yeah. You know, me and my sister went through hell. And I know guys that was in the ninth grade that had kids that wouldn't want to watch their kids. So me and my buddy made a pact in the ninth grade at the lunch table. Like, we ever have kids, man, we're going to be there. Because his father only lived 20 miles away. He ain't seen his father in 10 years.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and I never knew my pop. So we made a deal, and that's what we stand on. You know, loyalty is the key.
It is.
Loyalty is the key. And the fathers out here can make excuses. Yeah, the system is not for us, but you have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice happy hour. You have to sacrifice. Listen. 8 years being single.
Right.
You know, only my close girlfriends that I grew up, that I call sis, that deals with my sisters and my daughters, only three of them. And I've been seeing someone for 8 months. And my daughter loves the hell out of her. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, a slow process. Letting my daughter know you come before everybody.
So was that something you had to learn, or was that something that was in you always? Because, I mean, it's a change, bro.
It was something that was in me because I felt that growing up, like, my mother shouldn't put nobody before me and her, you know, me and my sister.
Okay.
You know, that's how I was growing up. You know, even the males, you know, they'd rather be with their woman than be with their kids. I'd rather be with my kids than be with a woman.
Okay. I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, now I have a woman that's want to be around my child, and my child wants to be around her.
Right.
And both of them got their day to go out and leave me by myself. They got their own day. And, no, you're not invited. You know, and I'm cool with that.
Now, does your lady have kids of her own?
Yeah, she has a son. He's in college.
Okay.
He's in college. Very, very good kid.
Did you purposely or intentionally decide, I'm going to be with somebody that has already raised a child so that she knows how to raise my... You know what I'm saying? One of the things that I learned when I started dating was I did not I found it very difficult to be with someone who never had kids and who had never been married, because there's a sacrifice and a selflessness that goes along with those things that if you've never had them, it's hard to understand why a father needs to be, you know, selfless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is what I used to get. You know, females found that I was single, you know, people I knew. And we go out, but then it's like, well, what's going to happen when Amari gets older and not want to be around you all the time? What do you mean? Like, you're going to wait till she, you know, you're waiting to get in a relationship until she gets grown and stuff? Well, if that's what it takes for her to make it out here, yeah, why not?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, no one is going to come before my child. I don't care what you say, you know. Oh, so you just, wait, everything's Amari. Yeah, I'm going to call. I don't, when I drop her off at a party, I'm not too far away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I drop her off at the, I'll put it to you this way. She 9, 10 years old. We go to Manassas skating rink. You know, she's going to want a daddy in there. So I go in there, make sure she got her skates. She hooked up with her little friends in there. I go sit in the car from 6 to 10.
Okay.
6 to 11, with that time they close. I go sit in the car. I go in every hour, 2 hours, check on her.
Check on her, right.
Walk back outside, sit in the car.
See, these are the kinds of things.
Go ahead.
These are the kinds of things that dads don't get credit for. I mean, I've done similar things with Peyton. The difference between you and I is Peyton has a mother that is, you know, she's a custodial parent. So I have a lot of help in that regard. You didn't have any help. Well, your son, but you didn't have another parent to help you, right?
Right.
And that was
right.
My thing. My thing was, is how do you, because I know you, bro. You know, I mean, for what it's worth, you know, you're a hard brother. You know what I mean? You never mince words. You know, you real streetwise. And so I wondered how you softened for that and how you kept your cool with your ex-wife with all the stuff that was going on so your daughter didn't see. Because you never badmouthed your ex-wife to her mother. I mean, to her daughter, right? You never did that, right?
No, she saw it herself.
Right.
You know, no matter what, you know, no matter what your moms do, I always tell her, don't disrespect your mother.
Right.
You know, now I'm learning with my relationship, you know, we don't know what other people are going through.
Right.
Before I got with her, I didn't care what other people was going through. Don't mess with me. Don't step on my toes. You know, but hey, Marcus, can I get this? No, I can't do it. Hey, Marcus, I can't do it. That's what I learned by having custody of my daughter. And because I went without shoes, you know, I got my work clothes on. Weekends, I got my sweatpants on, my tennis shoes, my hoodie. We going to the track meet.
Right.
You know, stuff I couldn't afford, but my son, man, my son is no joke. When I say he knows loyalty, he knows he's no joke. I would not be here. I just told my girl tonight, I would not be here right now if it wouldn't be for my son.
Yeah. Tell me about Junior. Like, how did he step in as far as helping you out?
I got custody of him when he was 4.
Okay.
And his mom's white. So I tell fathers, man, I don't want to hear no excuses. I ain't got no excuse. And I'm in Fairfax.
Right.
I got kids. And, you know, I wasn't making no money. She had a system. She, you know, she was getting all this free stuff. Nah, everything I got, man, I ain't getting no assistance. No food stamps. I'm broke with a broken back. No food stamps.
Right.
They wouldn't give it to me. I don't know why, you know. It was bad, man. You know, no housing, no nothing. So I stayed with my mom's 4 years. My son was like, we're getting up out of here. My son moved out. He started cutting hair. That's what he do.
Right.
And he would drop money off. $1,000 here, $2,000 there. You know, you good, Pops? Always made sure I had Father's Day. Always picked his sister up on Tuesday, that, you know, his day off. She gets out of school, he's here. Come on, let's go. Take her shopping. He's 100% in.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, right. Look, you got your own life. Do your own thing. I got it. No. My money, your money. Remember you said that? I said, yeah, okay. My money, your money now. I'm going to help you now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was real. It was true. And I knew he meant it.
Okay.
You know, so okay. We just helped each other. It's us three. We all we got. That's all I used to tell him. Look, us three, we all we got.
So,
you know.
You told me early on that Amari came back from mom's and she said she didn't want to go back. Did she ever tell you why?
She wasn't important. She didn't say it at that time. It was later on. And I was like, well, how come you didn't want to go live with your mom? I wasn't important. Her friends was. And I said, oh, you know, okay. So I tried to talk to her mom through email after everything went, you know, calmed down, trying to tell her what her daughter's feeling like, what she doesn't like. You know, I'm not telling her what to do. I'm just letting her know because the daughter can't speak to her, you know, can't talk because she don't want to get her mom's mad. And no communication, no feedback, no nothing. She will not answer me, you know.
Right.
She got to track me. You come into the track meet, she don't show up. Amari was in the eighth grade. In the 400, she ran a 109. And if some lady said, if you get a 103, you get a four-year ride by the time you get a senior. And she had a 109 in the eighth grade.
Wow.
But her mother not showing up. You don't want to run track no more.
Really?
So, yeah, she stopped. And coaches in high school was waiting for her. You know, I'm not going to force her to do something.
Right.
At that age, what she was going through, because the backlash would have been really bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, see, in high school now, if I'd have made her do and force her to do the things, you know, who knows? At 17, what she would have been acting like.
Right.
You know, she has a boyfriend now. A good kid.
Is that Max?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good dude, Max.
How'd you deal with that, man? Because, you know, like I told you, you ain't the easiest. So how did you deal with that? Like, how did that come off?
I wasn't allowed to have girls in my house, even if they was just coming over to watch a movie. So I did the opposite of what I couldn't do.
Okay.
And I told Amari, if I don't know him, you don't date him.
All right.
And he come in my house with his pants hanging down. What's up, Mr. Moore, all that, we're going to have a problem. I'm not going to be fake with her.
Right, right.
So my son told me, hey, Amari got a boyfriend. I was like, what? I didn't know.
Right.
Well, he said, I told her to tell you. So she told me, no, we don't go together. We just talking. I've known him since sixth grade. And he reached out to me and told me he liked me and stuff. And she was like, well, you got to talk to my dad. She knows the rules.
Okay.
So he came over. They hung out in the living room. I ordered pizza, kept the lights on. I was in my room with the door open. You know, we ain't got no blankets on the sofa or nothing.
So, right.
But before he left, let me tell you what it did, bro. Before he left, he walked up to me and he said, hey, Mr. Moore, I appreciate you letting me come over. I said, no problem, man. He said, you know, Mari's been friends for a while. And I was wondering, can I get your permission to date her?
Oh, wow.
Blew me away.
Wow.
I just looked at him. I said, oh, wow. Okay, so now I got to bring my rules out.
Right,
I
think
to myself, what's your grades looking like? And he showed me his grades. He had straight A's.
Okay, okay.
And Amari was standing there with a finger in her mouth looking like, oh, okay, what's going to happen? And I looked at Amari and I said, Amari got two D's. And he turned and looked at her. You got two D's? And she was like, thanks, Dad. And I was like, hey, it is what it is. I said, well, right now y'all can be friends because Amari got two D's and D's are for dummies. And right. I don't think you need to date no dummies.
Wow.
Yeah, straight up. That's how I talk with her. And she looked at me. I can't believe you said that after he left. I looked at her. I said, these are for dummies. Get it together, baby. You like them? She was like, yeah, you want to date them? Yeah, you better get them grades up. You know what she had now? Honor roll.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Tell me about the talk, man. Did you have the birds and bees talk with her?
With both of them.
Okay.
They sat down. I said, what's your plans, man? I'm going to college.
Wait a minute. You had that talk with him and her, with him and Max at the same time? With her and Max at the same time?
Sitting on my couch.
All right. So, you definitely got to tell me how that went.
Oh, yeah. I came in. I seen him hugging. Every time he leave, he hug. You know me, man. They in the hallway. I got a camera on my door. I'm seeing the kissing and all that. I'm on my phone like, what the? <You know? laughs> I'm kirking out because, you know, we was young. You know how
right.
We was young.
Right.
I got a little girl and she pretty. You feel me?
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
So I said, okay, we're going to have this talk. So when he came, I asked him about it. He showed me his grades and all that other stuff again. And, you know, Mari Grace was up and I was like, you know, y'all effing? I ain't say having sex.
Okay.
I'm going to be me. I said, y'all effing? And their eyes got big. And she said, no. I said, yeah, you're probably lying. I said, what about you, homie? He said, no, sir. I said, okay. I looked at Amari and I said, just because he's your boyfriend don't mean you need to lay down with him.
Right.
He was like, oh, wow. I said, make that nigga work. Oh, excuse my language.
No,
I said,
go ahead,
make
man.
That head work. You know, I said, make that nigga work.
Right.
Right in front of him. I asked him his plans, college, receiver. I said, okay, Mari wants to be a travel nurse or a dentist assistant. She wants to do something in that field. I said, okay. Right. I said, well, you know, if you drop babies, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys are having sex or not, but we ain't dropping babies here. Understand the game. They said, okay. And then, I talked to him already after he left. I said, if you are doing something, you need to chill the hell out right now because we're going to the doctor. So I started reaching out to my friend, talking to my girl. Okay, what can I do? Because I can't stop it.
Right. You can't.
You can't stop it. So what should I do? And they telling me, well, this gives it this. I said, let me talk to my daughter. So I asked Tamari, okay, we're going to go to the doctor. What's up with the pills? What's up with, they got something you can put in your arm. I'm not giving you permission to have sex, but we're not dropping babies.
Right.
And you like this guy. I can see it. And he a Scorpio just like me. So, you already know. So she said, okay. She made the appointment. She ended up getting sick. She had a little sore throat, so we didn't go, but we going next week.
Okay. Okay.
I need her to step her game up, be more of a young lady and take responsibility of yourself, the way you dress, the way you talk to adults, everything you do. Because when you walk out this house, you represent me, and if somebody kirk out on you or whatever, then you turn to the other side of me and handle your business, But that's just really what it is, man. Be real with your kids. Let them know your faults, but don't drag it on. Right. That's the real key.
What you mean by don't drag it on? What do you mean by
that? Every time the child does something, don't repeat the same thing about, well, when I was younger, when we did this, don't do that. And this comes from her. Because, how old is your daughter now, bro?
13, man.
Okay. I had to sit down with my son and my daughter when my son was 15 and when my daughter was 15. And I said, I want you to tell me what you don't like about me. And I want you to tell me what you like about me.
Okay.
And my son couldn't do it. He was like, I can't do that. what I mean? Nah, this is what I need to fix myself. So he ended up doing it. I cried when he was 15. We was outside about 2 hours.
Okay.
I did it with my daughter. She told me what she didn't like. So those are the things I work on.
Okay.
You just got to talk to your kids, and you have to be able to accept what they say about you, how they feel about you.
Wow. So you got to create a safe space for them to be able to tell you about you, where they don't feel afraid.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I tell a lot of people this. If you have a best friend and your best friend does something wrong to you, and those people don't ever talk again because they told you about yourself, right or wrong?
You're right.
If your child tells you about yourself, you're not going to take care of her no more?
No, I hear what you're saying.
You feel me? So that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
And she don't, my motto is hate me now, love me later.
Right.
Yeah. Dad, can Max come over? Not today. I'll be like, she walk in the room, hate me now, love me later. I know.
It's interesting because a lot of parents in your situation would try to, and not saying that you didn't earlier, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. But a lot of parents try to overcompensate for the other parent not being there and just try to be the friend of the child as opposed to the parent of the child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's when my mother came in. I'm too hard on her. Well, I'm not going to feel sorry for her, and I'm not her friend.
Right.
And I just kept it like that. And I was strict, man. Do what you say you're going to do, be what you say we're going to be. Period. Keep your room clean, your bathroom clean, the kitchen clean, and wash your clothes and fold them. Oh, yeah, man. I'm checking everything.
Right.
I don't want her to grow up and have to depend on a man to get an apartment, to buy a house. No, you do this by yourself. You need a companion, but at the same time, you let these dudes know, I don't need you to make it out here.
Right.
And I think that's the problem with these young kids.
Yeah. Marcus, what's your biggest fear right now, man? Because we all have them as dads. What's your biggest fear right now for Amari?
Dropping a baby and not being able to take care of herself. I've dealt with that with my stepdaughter.
Okay.
Bringing a child in this world because she's dealing with a boy. That's the only fear as a father, boyfriend and girlfriend, spend a lot of time with each other. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And her being able to take care of herself when I'm no longer here. Because my mom just passed on Father's Day, so.
Right. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, absolutely.
I believe my side of family, besides my son, that's the only person she's going to have up when I'm gone. 100% supporting her. You know what I mean? Her side, her mom's side of family, they're not there now.
Okay.
So
she doesn't get any support from anybody on her mom's side of the family?
Just her mom.
Okay.
When she wants to. I'm not trying to get on her or anything, but just past Christmas, she just started being consistent.
Okay.
And that came from a threat. So and yeah, I did it because of my daughter's emotional roller coaster for the last 8 years.
So the state didn't make her pay anything? You didn't go for child support?
I got that 2 years later after I got custody.
Okay. Okay.
So she, you know, but I didn't ask for it. You know, judge made it happen, but it took so long through her job or whatever. I guess she was fighting it.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah. So, I struggled for a long time, bro. Long time. I had to stay with my mom's for 4 years. And then when I decided I had enough, I went and got a one bedroom in a den. And I put Amari in a den and I made it as more comfortable as possible. And the living room was hers. So then I went to work, came home, make sure she had whatever she needed and, you know, look for a better job. And, you know, I got a 2-bedroom, 2 baths, you know, I'm moving up.
Right.
And my son says, I don't think I know anybody that can do what you do, you know. And trust me, bro, it's been plenty of nights I've been sitting in my room with the lights off, with the tears flowing. I ain't gonna lie.
Right.
That's real.
It is real.
You know, like, what in the world can nobody help me? Like, how am I gonna do this? How am I gonna take care of her? You know, she don't want to go back to her mom's. I can't afford her. I can't do this. It had nothing to do with other females. It ain't had nothing to do with going out partying. That's not what I do, you know. So it's been a lot of tears. But in front of her, she can't see me weak. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, Dad, I know you ain't got it. Don't worry about it. We good. I got you. You know, I'll make it work.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, man, where your biggest reward is coming, right? It's coming. You know what I mean? Amari.
You know,
She knows. She knows the sacrifices. You know what I'm saying? And she'll even understand even more in a couple of years. But your biggest reward is coming, homie. And that's yeah. No lie.
Yeah. I just look at it every day and go, wow. You know, we almost there. Yeah. You know, she's going to go to Nova. So we almost there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have you, no
know, I got, you know, I got her working. She works at, she had a job at Chick-fil-A. Now she works at, Cracker Barrel.
Oh, that's my joint, man.
Yeah. She working there. She's like, Dad, it's $2 more. I'm like, all right, go for it. But don't quit your other job until you get this one. That we don't sit back and wait until another job come through. No, we work, get an interview. We got the job. You go to your orientation. You like it. Then you put your 2 weeks notice in.
Right.
That's how we do it. I'm trying to teach her the right way.
Right.
You know, she don't like it, but like I say, hate me now, love me later. No, you got to show loyalty to your job.
Well, she's doing well in school. She's got a respectful guy. She's got a gig, and she's set to graduate on time. I mean, you've done your job, man. You're doing your job. I'm proud. I mean, I tell you straight up, I'm proud of you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I appreciate that.
And I've told you in public on Facebook how proud I am because people don't know how hard it's been for you. You know, you just don't stop. You don't quit. And there's a lot of fathers out here who don't quit. You know, we get a bad rap a lot of the time. You know what I mean? And it's just not celebrated enough when you have somebody like you who's raised kids, especially a little girl, which is hard, man. It's really difficult. So I just wanted to bring you on here and applaud you and have you drop some wisdom, help help some other guys that are going through what you went through. You know what I'm saying? Help them not to quit and tell them there's, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
Yeah. You just have to believe in yourself, you know? I have family members telling me I'm wasting my time.
Oh, wow.
You know, when she gets 13, 14 years old, even friends, my female friends, you know, when she gets 13, 14 years old, she's going to want to go live with her mother. Are you prepared for that? I have no choice to be prepared.
Right.
When she graduates, she might, I'm going to go live with my mom. Okay, cool. You still gonna have your room. You still gonna have a key.
Right.
You know, it's that bitterness is, trust me, is definitely, you know, gone. You know, I ain't had time to be bitter because I had to focus on her, you know.
Right.
And it's been, I want to say 8 years, and I haven't spoken to her mother on the phone that one time. No, maybe twice in 8 years.
Wow.
And I got a kid to raise, and the co-parent was it's not an existence. It's still not. You know, yeah. She would rather go through her daughter to communicate with me. And I think that's very childish.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
I'm not knocking her as a mom because we don't know what she's been through. But you don't put your kids what you went through if that's what you went through.
Right.
You know, the fathers out there, man, just trust me. The system is for us, too. You just got to want it.
You say no excuses.
Sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, if you have a bad relationship and you try to get custody of your daughter, what's more important, your relationship or your daughter?
Right, right.
You know, so if you have to break up with your girlfriend and get your child, then that's what you got to do. Those are the things that people don't know, you know. Just because you got a girlfriend, oh, it's a family, we're together, that don't matter. Guardian Lighty ain't going to care about that, you know.
Well, Marcus, man, I appreciate your time, brother. And you know, the wisdom that you gave, it's going to be useful. So I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you, bro.
All right, bro. You take care.
And also, bro, I'll be honest with you.
What's up?
You know, my lawyer, that's because of you. Oh, yeah. The lawyer you gave me, that number you gave me.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, she represented me in court.
I mean, she was on point. The sister, she was on point, no doubt.
The bulldog.
I forgot it. Giving you her
information. Yeah, I told my girl today, I said, all this is in play because of this brother right here.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's real, bro, for real. I didn't have a lawyer. I didn't have nothing. I told you what was going on. You said, man, call this lawyer right here. I know her. I called her, went and met with her, and she came in court and shut it down for me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, man. I'm glad it worked out. But you know what? You held up your end of the bargain. You didn't make her look like a fool. You know what I'm saying? You went out and did your thing. So it all worked out, man. It all worked out.
Yeah, I appreciate you, bro.
All right, man. You take care of yourself, man. And I can't believe old girl's graduating. This blows my mind, boy. You don't have
any. Yeah, you're going to get an invite.
I better.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, man. Take care of yourself, bro.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right, Marcus. All right, that was my boy Marcus. So glad that he was on. So happy to hear things are going well. I see his daughter now. And like I told you, she was a little thing, man, when I first started hanging out with Marcus. And, you know, to see her now with her cap and gown and senior portraits, it's just amazing to me. It's amazing how she's grown, how beautiful she is, how Marcus has persevered. You know, he didn't even tell you all his story. And honestly, my contribution, I'm an attorney for Marcus back in the day, was a small thing. Honestly, compared to all the things he was up against, he struggled hard. He fought hard to get his little girl, and he was not taking no for an answer. And he didn't even get into the deep, dirty stuff that he went through. And you know, I guess he just doesn't want to hold on to it, which again is a life lesson. You let go of the stuff that's holding you down, that's going to keep you bitter, like he said. And apparently he's let go of it because he went through a lot of stuff, in particular with his mother-in-law. And look, man, it was really, really bad. So I am glad that he has overcome all of those things. I'm so I can't tell you how proud of him I am. And this is just good stuff. So my point was, is when you hear all this stuff about men not caring about their kids or not making an effort for their kids, yo, don't believe the hype. That's a blanket comment, a blanket statement that does not apply. We care mightily about our children. And a lot of us out here are doing whatever we can to make sure that we are a part of their lives and that they are a part of ours. All right, so I know you hear the music. It is time for the one and only Petty. Let's call that Joker. And I know he's going to give me a hard time. And look, the Ravens let me down and let everybody down in B-more last week. But I'm going to call him anyway and see what he's got to say. All right, well, I know you hear the music, and I am so happy that the Ravens won on Thursday night because he was going to roast me about last Sunday, and he should. We shouldn't have let that game get away. But let's call the Petty. Let's see what the Petty's talking about today.
Good morning, Brother B. How are you?
I'm good, Petty. How you doing today, man?
I'm a little under the weather, so we're going to try to get through this thing today.
Okay.
First of all, let's talk a little baseball.
Baseball,
I know the baseball season's over. I know. See, there you go, baseball. I'm talking baseball because the Orioles are still in the news with Brandon Hyde being named American League Manager of the Year, taking the Orioles to a 100-plus win season, putting them in the playoffs, and just playing some good baseball down there in Baltimore.
Right, right, right.
Also, more on the Orioles, you had Gunnar Henderson named the American League Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I saw that.
So Baltimore has a good team going on down there.
And have you heard anything about breaking up or getting rid of players or anything like that? Because I really want them to keep this team together.
I think they're going to keep this team together. I think they're going to look for some more pitching. They have a really good squad right now. It's a mix of some youth and a couple of veterans there. Also, one other thing as far as the Orioles, Allie Rushman, named right. Silver Slugger winner for his position. Also, Gunnar Henderson got Silver Slugger for his position.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some good things going down there in Baltimore as far as baseball. I think the O's are back. I think we'll see them again next year in a playoff picture, hopefully making it to the ALCS and maybe even the World Series.
Okay.
So
all right.
Hopefully the fans, after seeing what the Orioles did this year, will flock down to Camden Yards and watch those O's play.
Okay. All right.
So let's move right on along to football. First of all, congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens for breaking my streak and winning on Thursday night.
I told you they would do it.
Well, you got to look at what happened with that game. Joe Burrow went down. Once he went down, it was a wrap.
Right.
The Ravens did look good, but once Joe Burrow went down, it was, you know, you could tell the air was just let out of that team, and he's lost for the season. So I feel as though Cincinnati can start thinking about next season because I don't think they're going anywhere without Joe Burrow.
But here's the thing I don't – this is what I don't like about that whole scenario. One player goes down, but everybody on that team still gets a paycheck. You can't – if you're a professional, you got to still do your job the best way that you can. You know what I'm saying? Like, it that really bothers me that you hold your whole – I don't know, your whole sense of trying or effort on one player being gone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my philosophy is, brother, be next man up. You know
what
I mean?
Exactly.
I look at what the 49ers did last year, and I know you're talking about the 49ers again, but look at what they did. They lost two quarterbacks and went to their third-string quarterback and still made it to the NFC championship game.
Right.
So it's always should be the next man up philosophy, but it seemed like the air was just let out of Cincinnati as soon as Joe Burrow went down.
Yeah, but the kid Browning that came in is a good ball player. I mean, he did a good job.
He is a good ball player. I was kind of impressed with what I saw. It just seemed like the other team, his teammates just didn't have that confidence.
Right.
I think that's a shame.
It is a shame.
And I'm thinking to myself that I don't think they'll be playing with the same confidence as if Joe Burrow was in there. And that's a shame because they're not giving this kid a chance.
They're not.
But
they're really not.
I really don't think Cincinnati will even be in the playoff picture. They're already on the outside looking in. So I think they should maybe start thinking about next season or maybe start making some phone calls trying to find a veteran out there that can hopefully get them over the hump.
I don't know. If I'm a ball player on that team and I keep hearing the pundits and the commentators and the analysts talk about how the season's lost because Joe Burrow's is gone. Like, I'm not even playing out there anymore. I'm pissed. I would take that as an insult. You know what I mean? But they just, I don't know, it's just weird to me how that happens.
It is. And not to mention, another player Mark Andrews was lost for the Ravens. But, you know, the Ravens just kept on rolling. You know, Isaiah Likely looks pretty good for them. And you know, I like the fact that he was able to step in and just say, you know what, we're going to keep on rolling.
Right.
And, you know, some teams have that next man up mentality. Some don't.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. One other thing with baseball, Brother B.
What's that?
Because, you know, we started to move to football, and I almost forgot. Because if you go to the archives of your show, I said this. I said it. I told you to watch out for it. Here it is. The major league owners approved the move from the Oakland Athletics to Las Vegas. And I told you those A's may be going to Vegas.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And so they approved the move. So it looks like the A's will be moving to Vegas.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Oh, that is. There's a lot out of rich history and tradition in Oakland with baseball and with football. And you see that the Raiders have moved out there to Vegas. And now the A's are following the Raiders to Vegas.
That's crazy. Oh, well.
So the 2024 season will most likely be the last year that the Oakland A's, well, the A's will play in Oakland.
Wow. Okay. All right.
But I told you. So, you know what I mean?
I hear
Sometimes
you.
Sometimes I tell you, you hear it first on your show. If anybody's listening and paying attention, and I hope that they are.
Right.
So let's get on with these picks. We already know that Baltimore took care of Cincinnati on Thursday night. And, I mean, it was a good win for the Ravens. It really was.
It was.
So this afternoon, we have Pittsburgh traveling to Cleveland. And that's a big story because Deshaun Watson is lost for the year. After putting on that spectacular showing down in Baltimore. And speaking of which, how do you let a team that has Brownie Elf come into your house? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to talk about it. How do you let a team of Brownie the Elf as a third mascot come in there and beat your team?
Man, I was so disgusted with that game, man. So disappointed. So disappointed.
Now you see why I call him Bum Birds.
No, I don't.
I don't agree with that. You are about 14
points with 9 minutes left in the game. You got to play 60 minutes of football.
Yeah, you do.
Now, they had a good showing Thursday night, and that was a big bounce-back game for them. They needed that game to stay atop of the AFC North.
Right.
But and to keep themselves in a higher seating as far as the AFC, the conference. You know what I mean? When playoff time rolls around. But you don't let the Browns come in there and beat you. You just don't.
I am concerned about the Steelers, though. The Steelers are picking up confidence, and they're starting to play better. And they do concern me a little bit.
Ugly. Like I said, they're winning ugly. They are right there. And, you know, I'm picking the Steelers to beat the Browns today.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm looking at the Steelers to go in there and do a little something. I mean, I thought they were going to start P.J. Walker, and they're not. They're going to start their rookie. I'm going to see how that plays out for Cleveland. Cleveland has a very good defense. But, you know, your defense can't stay on the field.
Yeah, they'll tire out. That's exactly right.
So I'm looking for Pittsburgh to go in and win ugly, as they've been doing all season, in Cleveland.
All right.
Now, we have a rivalry that dates back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I'm talking about the Chicago Bears travel to Detroit to see those pesky Lions.
Right.
Justin Fields, from what I understand, is supposed to be turning back to the field today. So it might be a pretty good game. But it's the Lions. The Lions are the number two seed, I believe, right now in the NFC. And I think they want to keep it that way. So I'm looking for the Lions to take the Bears in the easy one.
Okay. All right.
You got the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, going into Green Bay to see the Packers. And I don't know what to make of those cheeseheads. Sometimes I think they're going to win and they lose. Sometimes I think they're going to lose and they win. I don't know what to say about this team. The Chargers are the Chargers. I told you I don't trust that coach. I told you that last week. I think they could have beaten Detroit. It was a very good game. But, you know, those pesky Lions pulled it out. I don't trust Brandon Staley at all. And to me, Green Bay is just a big question mark. I don't know what team I'm going to get. So I'm going to take a chance here today and say I'm going to say the Chargers over the Packers.
Okay.
Next up, a surprise team. I say that I picked them to lose last week because I thought they was in total disarray. But their interim coach, Antonio Pierce, have them firing up.
Oh, yeah, they are fired up behind him.
And I'm talking about those Vegas Raiders going down to South Beach to see the Fins, the Dolphins.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're not going to offer him a contract.
Well, the Raiders do some weird stuff. They had a nice interim coach last year, and they didn't offer him a contract. You know, I don't understand what Mike Davis is doing. I mean, Al Davis, you know what you got with Al Davis.
Right. He just wanted to win.
I don't know what we're getting. You know, I think they should have hired the coach, their interim coach, last year. You know, but I just don't know. Antonio, we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I just think it would be a horrible
– Miami and win today.
I think it would be a horrible PR move if he didn't offer him up because the crowd, the fans love Antonio Pierce and what he's
and
doing.
And I think the players are rallying around him.
They absolutely are.
I don't believe they can go into Miami today and overtake the Dolphins. So give me the Dolphins over the Raiders.
Okay. All right.
Here's another divisional rivalry, and this was always a good game back in the day. It's kind of got away from it, but it might be a good game today because of the quarterback play. I'm talking about the Giants. Go down to D.C. to see the Commanders today.
Ooh. You're picking the Giants over the Commanders?
No, I'm just saying they're going to see the Commanders. That used to be, you know, they used to talk about Giants in Washington, and I'm not going to say the name, but you know what I'm talking about. That was always a big game.
Right.
You know, but now it's a shell of what it used to be. And I like the Commanders over the Giants today. There's not too much I can say about that, except for give me the Commanders over the Giants.
Okay. All right.
Next up, them boys, they go down to Carolina. And Carolina, man, they will probably most likely end up with the number one draft pick again at the end of the season. Bryce Young is just really having a tough time. Every now and then there's spurts of what he was in college. But, I mean, you know, that team is rebuilding. They need to put more parts around him so that he can shine. The Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys, they look good against bad teams.
Right.
But they struggle against good teams. Right. So everybody's like, oh, the boys are back. The boys are back. They're talking about Dak. They're talking about this. And you know, I don't feel them doing anything when it comes playoff time because they'll be playing good teams. But against bad teams, they look like world beaters. So to me, this is a no-brainer. Give me the Cowboys over the Panthers.
What's the Panthers front four like? defensive front four?
They look like a practice squad team.
Okay.
So
because that's where that's the only time Dak excels. If he plays against a team that has a good defensive front four, it's a wrap.
Right. So he should look extremely good today.
Right.
Because he'll have all day to stand there and just throw whoever he wants to, whomever he wants to. So next up, we have the Titans going down to Jacksonville. That's another divisional game. And, you know, I looked on the slate, a lot of divisional games today.
Right.
And that's another one. You know what? Dougie P will have a big bounce back game today because they were embarrassed last week by the 49ers.
Okay.
So I think this is going to be a big game for them. Man, Tennessee, I don't know what's going on. I think the coach is going to get fired. I think Vrabel is done after this season because they had, you know, the only thing that Tennessee was really lacking was the quarterback play. I never trusted Ryan Tannehill. I think they have a good running game. The defense is okay. But, you know, without decent quarterback play, your team's going to suffer.
Right.
And they've, you know, I think Al Levitt's out there, which is fine. Let the man get his feet wet and, you know, see what he can do.
Okay.
Do I think they can go into Jacksonville and win today? Absolutely not. Give me the Jaguars over the Titans.
Okay.
And finally, the 1 o'clock slate, you have the Arizona Cardinals going down to see the Houston Texans. The little big-head midget, he showed up and showed out last week. I had a feeling they were going to win, and he didn't look too bad. So, you know, maybe they can do something with him, and maybe they can start looking forward to next season because this season, I don't think they're going to do anything. They're definitely not going to be in the playoffs. So I think they plan to find out what they have and what they could possibly look for in the draft or free agency to rebuild that team.
Okay.
They're going down to Houston. And D'Amico Ryans, man, they're talking about the Texans and the playoff picture. You know, C.J. Stroud, he's looking like he probably will win the Rookie of the Year. And they look really good down there in Houston. I got the Texans beating a little big-head midget in those Arizona Cardinals today.
Okay. All right.
Later this afternoon, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going out to the Golden Gate City to see the 49ers. And the way the 49ers looked last week, it looks like they're back on that track. You know, they put the beat down on Jacksonville. Jacksonville is not a bad team. You know, they both came in with both the same record. And boy, did they put a beat down on Jacksonville last week. I think if you watch that game, that Chase Young and Nick Bosa on the edges look very good attacking the quarterback.
Yeah, if Chase Young can stay healthy. He just can't stay healthy. That's
it. If he can stay healthy. And you know what? It might be the team that you go to. It might need a breath of fresh air or whatever. But if you can recall, last year when the 49ers traded for Christian McCaffrey, everyone said that was a bad move because he's injury prone. Well, he's been playing pretty good for the 49ers. So could this be a second time around that the 49ers made a play for a trade for an injury-prone player, and he turns out to be a stud for them? We shall see as the season goes on.
Yes, we shall.
Because he sure looked pretty good last week. The pastry chef comes in. I'm looking for him to, you know, serve up some turnovers with that 49er defense, you know, going after. And, you know, Nick Bosa, he always likes to play against Baker Mayfield. That's personal. You know, that goes back to the old Ohio State, Oklahoma days. So he's salivating. He just can't wait to get on the field to go up against Baker Mayfield again. So give me the 49ers over the Buccaneers.
Okay.
This team, and this is the Battle of New York. They have the real New York team, the Buffalo Bills, playing against the Jersey New York team, the New York Jets, Jets, who were very disappointing in that loss last Sunday night. Ah, man, Buffalo. They made their offensive coordinator the scapegoat for that loss that they suffered last Monday night.
Right.
And I think that's a travesty. He didn't throw interceptions. He didn't fumble the ball. He wasn't the 12th man on the field. He didn't cause pass interference. But because they lost, all of a sudden, he gets fired.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. That was just a travesty. I think that was just horrible that he was fired because of the miscues and the misfires that the players had. You can draw up the plays. The players have to execute them. That's it. I think he drew up some nice plays. He didn't fumble the ball. He didn't throw two interceptions. He didn't cause pass interference. He wasn't the 12th man on the field.
Right.
But he takes the fall.
Right.
Crazy. So I got a bad taste in my mouth with the Buffalo Bills these days. And thank God I don't eat chicken, because I sure wouldn't be eating no wild wings.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I like Buffalo over the Jets. Man, I was going to give Zach Wilson a chance last week, and he just stunk it up as usual. So he'll stink it up again up in upstate New York. You Bills over the Jets. Now, here's going to be a good one, another divisional game. Seahawks, Rams, out in L.A. Matthew Stafford is coming back. But the Seahawks looked pretty good last week against the Commanders. They pulled that game out. I think right now they're trying to keep pace with the 49ers. They're on a collision course, and I think they're going to go into L.A. and beat the Rams today. I don't like the Seahawks. I ain't a big favor of the Rams, but I like the Seahawks better than the Rams today. Seahawks over the Rams.
Okay.
And tonight, the Vikings with Josh Dobbs, and I mean, they look good with him.
Yeah, you do.
Going up against a team that looked pretty good themselves on Monday night, and I'm talking about the Denver Broncos. Has the old Russell Wilson returned? Because he sure looked good on some of those drives last Monday night.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they're playing in the Mile High City. I think that's a problem for a lot of players coming in there to play. And as much as I like Minnesota in this game, I'm going to go with Denver. I think they're on the run right now.
Okay.
I know. I'm surprised I took this myself, but I think Denver's trying to make that run, and I think they're going to be shocking a lot of teams. I think that's the team you might want to look at because, man, if Sean Payton has that team where he needs them to be, they're going to be a force coming down in the last couple of weeks of the season. So, yeah, give me the Broncos over the Vikings.
All right.
And tomorrow night, Super Bowl rematch. The Philadelphia Eagles, those pigeons, fly into KC to see the Chiefs. Both teams are coming off of a bye. Both teams are the number one seeds in their conferences. And this is a big revenge match for the Eagles. KC with Andy Reid, who has an impeccable record coming off of a bye, going up against his former team. This is a tough one for me, probably. I'm thinking the Eagles are going to go in there and just do what they do. But it's Andy Reid coming off of a bye.
Man,
let me ask you a question. Who are you like in this game?
I got the Eagles.
Well, you know what, Brother B? I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Not because you're going with the Eagles.
That's exactly why you're going with the Chiefs.
No, that's not the reason why. It's just that kind of see a little something that you might not see.
Okay.
Okay. I'm looking at Andy Reid coming off of a bye. I'm looking at them losing to Denver. And it's like, you know what? They need to get back on track. They really do. You know, they lost their last game before going into the bye. And usually if you have a nice win going into the bye, the coach may give you a little extra time off. You guys, you know what? Nice win. You guys take the week off. Be back next week so we can get started on, you know, our next game. I don't think that happened out in KC. They lost to Denver, and I think Andy Reid put it to him. And like I said, he has an impeccable record after the bye. Give me the Chiefs over the Pigeons.
Okay.
Eagles.
All right.
Now, you know what? I always give you a game for Thursday night, but this Thursday is going to be Thanksgiving. And we have a plethora of games. Three, as a matter of fact. You have the traditional game where the Lions play and the Cowboys play. But then you got your Thursday night game. And as a bonus, they're going to give us something a little different this year. They got a Black Friday game. So let me give you those picks real quick so I can get out of here.
Okay, okay.
Packers, Lions. Lions at home every Thursday. First game. Packers used to always give it to the Lions. Now the Lions are seeking their revenge. They did it earlier this year when they went into the Lambeau. I think they sweep the Lions this year. I think they sweep the Packers this year. Give me the Lions over the Packers. Game number one.
Okay.
For the afternoon game, you got the Commanders going down to the Big D to see the Cowboys. Cowboys, Thanksgiving. Yeah, give me the Cowboys over the Commanders.
Negative.
And Thursday night. You have something to say, Brother B, about that
one? Yeah, yeah. Commanders going to win that game. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, enjoy your turkey, Brother B, because the Cowboys are going to beat the Commanders. Now, would I like to see the Commanders beat the Cowboys? Absolutely. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Like I said, give me the Cowboys over the Commanders.
All right.
And while you're eating your pumpkin pie, apple pie, peach cobbler, whatever dessert you may have, on Thanksgiving night. You got the 49ers going up the Great Northwest to see the Sea Chickens, those Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be a big game. And like I said, I think the Seahawks are going to win today to keep pace with the 49ers, because whoever wins this game Thursday night, they're going to win the division. This is a big game. Big game for both of them. You know who I'm going with. Yeah, you already know.
You're going with the 49ers. Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
And as a bonus, at 3 p.m. Friday afternoon, you have the Dolphins going up into the Meadowlands to see the Jets. If I would have known what I know now, I would probably try to get some tickets and drive up to Jersey and watch them play. Friday afternoon game, that's pretty good. You know, tickets probably be cheap, but unfortunately, I didn't find out fast enough. So, Dolphins, Jets, Friday afternoon, Black Friday. Give me the Dolphins over the Jets.
All right. Sounds good.
And there you have it, Brother B. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I'm going to go in here and drink a little tea.
Yeah,
pop,
man.
Some pills,
you sound
try
a little stuffed
well
up, man.
And, you know, hopefully I'll continue my winning ways. And hopefully you have a wonderful week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I am out of here.
All right, brother. Peace, man. Thank you. All right. There goes the Petty. Always appreciative of his time today. He just sounded like he was way under the weather. So I hope you get better, my brother. So we've got Thanksgiving coming up. I want everybody to have a very, very pleasant week, a very restful Thanksgiving and a hearty Thanksgiving. Be festive in what you do and how you eat. But remember, you know, whatever you put in, you got you got to come off. You don't overdo it. I want to thank my boy Marcus Moore for coming on and being so candid with us today and telling his story. I want to thank you again for being with me today. The time has come to an end. The hour always goes by so fast, and I thank you so much for giving it to me. Please remember to hit me up on IG, add on with Brian Pettaway. Let me know what you think about the show. If you have any feedback, I'd love to hear it. And if you've missed any portions of this show or you want to share it with somebody else that you know, please go to voiceswired.com. All of my shows are there listed from newest to oldest. And also, if you are traveling this week, which a lot of us are, please, please be careful. This is a very deadly time of the year on the highways. Just take your time and get to your destinations safely, okay? Better to get there late than never at all. And also, once you eat all that turkey, you know the drill. We get that itis. Just chill for a little bit before you get back on the road. Don't need to be on the road tired either. So today, like I always say, it's Sunday. Relax, watch the games, do nothing. Charge your batteries, get refreshed. But like I also tell you every week, the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So tomorrow morning, like you should every Monday morning, wake up ready to conquer the world. Having a great week, getting ready to see your family and friends on Thursday. But please be safe, be an inspiration, and allow yourself to be inspired, all right? And next week, same time, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., I'll see you right here next week with a great new show on Let's Talk on 1500 Radio, Baltimore's multimedia experience. Peace and happy Thanksgiving.